You know, as I look around the circle, I'm just amazed at just the gifting of God that is in each one of you. And to me, I just count it a real privilege to call you friend, to see you as my friends, and just realize, as I've gotten to know some of you a little bit, realize many of us are facing all kinds of struggles and different levels of things going on in our lives. And at the same time, I see you persevering and, you know, serving faithfully in the many various areas where you are. And my heart this afternoon, I've really been before the Lord to say, okay, Lord, what is your heart for this time? And I want to give us some time to really open up and share, but there is one phrase or a couple phrases that the Lord has put on my heart. And just before I mention them, I want to read part of an email that actually one of the pastors who's here this weekend sent out to some of his people, and he sent it to the office, and I thought it just conveys God's heart of what's happening in the convocation this year. And he says, as I am praying for this weekend, I am reminded that we are in this together. And we are in this with the Lord. It's just us and him. He is simply asking us to walk in faith, to grow in faith, and to trust him more. And as we do so together. And we do so as individuals. We share together in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, becoming like him in his death and somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. His mighty power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything. So his call to stepping out of the boat and walking in faith is grounded in his power working together with our steps of faith. And then he asks, what are the steps of faith that God calls you to take this weekend? Whatever comes, we will spend eternity with him walking in his love and glory. He has risen from the dead and conquered all death. Nothing can take us from the eternal love which he has already poured out into our hearts. His Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He, Jesus, is our advocate, always living to intercede for us to the Father. So both the Spirit and the Son are interceding for us all through this weekend, right now. So it's just us and him, and that is enough. What will hinder you from really entering in this weekend? And what steps of faith is the Lord calling you to take? The topic this weekend is sons coming into our inheritance, daughters coming into our inheritance in fullness. That means both male and female sons. We are co-heirs with Christ, and all that is his is ours. We inherit the kingdom of heaven right along with the firstborn, our older brother, Jesus Christ. Do you doubt your full inheritance in Christ? Do you know what it is? Does it seem amazing to you? Or are you somewhat bored with them? Do you know how great are the riches that God has already used you to share with others? God has already and continues to use each of you to share and to communicate the riches of Christ. Whether it's with a first and second grade, or a third and fourth grade, or in other classrooms, whether it's in a Bible study, whether it's in Botswana, whether it's in Liberia. He is already using each one of us in amazing ways, with our own children, raising them and bringing them forth. And so the challenge at the end, he says, come away, let's be together with our Lord this weekend. Let's be together with each other. Let's come away. And Lord, I just pray that even as we have taken in so much last night and today that maybe even some of us feel like we're on overload right now. And Lord, we don't necessarily need a lot more information, but I just pray, Lord, for that impartation by your Spirit that is your heart to continue to encourage each one in this circle right now, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each one of these precious sisters and for those who could not be here at this time, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you will walk amongst us right now by your Spirit and touch us. Lift up those that have heavy burdens. Lord, some of us are in, it seems, predicaments that just are not going away. And things that we cry out to you for change, but the change has not come. Desert experiences, even as we talked about in our last session up here. And Father God, I pray that as we continue to talk and to think about what it means for us as sons and daughters, inheriting what you have for us, but also passing on that inheritance, that you will teach us even in these moments what you would have us to know and draw us closer onto yourself, that we might know the love of God that passes knowledge. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Psalm 86. The phrase that has just been ringing in my heart as I was preparing for this time and was before the Lord has to do with the word compassion, and that in God's presence we experience his compassion, which is the basis really of everything that we do. And to put it in one sense in the vernacular, you could think, you know, people don't care much what we know or what we say until they know that we love them,
right. Mm-hmm.
Until they feel the love. And this word of compassion was confirmed to me, Colette, when you read about the prodigal son. And I think the first or second verse you read, it says, the father was moved with compassion. And when you read that, I felt like that was the Lord just saying, yes, Linda, you are on the right track. And it is a consideration to think about God's compassion. And if we look in Psalm 86 at verse 5, we read, but you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. The goodness of the Lord, his eagerness to forgive us, his abundance of mercy to us. And then if you skip down to verse 15 of the same chapter, Psalm 86, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Then I can't help but even read the first part of verse 16, where the psalmist cries out, and my Bible says this is a prayer of David. Oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. The whole sense of the compassion of God that David was experiencing at this time, and he was affirming that the God that he came to know, that he worshiped out on the hillside as he was caring for the sheep, that the God that he took the slingshot before the giant and said, I come to you in the name of the mighty God of Israel, and threw that stone and slew the giant, that he is now saying, God, you are a God full of compassion. And if we think about God's compassion and his mercy, you know, he doesn't hand that out to us in little teaspoons full, a little bit of compassion here, a little bit of mercy there, whatever. But it's like shovels full, and over again, that he is full of compassion, full of mercy to us. It's interesting that the Greeks thought of compassion as in the bowels, but the Hebrews, it was the whole love, it was the sense of the pity, it was the sense of mercy. It was a very real thing to them, this compassion. And we see this spoken of again in Hosea chapter 2. And if you know the story of Hosea, it's just an amazing story that has gripped my heart for many years, of how God calls on Hosea as a faithful man and husband to marry basically this whore and to love her. And even after she goes out and is unfaithful, to buy her back and love her some more. And in this awesome book, again, showing God's love, we see in Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, that God says, and I will sow her for myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. And this word mercy here, again, is a companion word of the compassion, a Hebrew word meaning to show compassion, to love deeply. And it's interesting, the root of it has to do with the womb of the mother, probably chi. I see you nodding your head. What is it that you understand of that word?
Just when you mentioned the womb. One of my granddaughters' name is Chesed, which is womb. And, you know, mercy, compassion, there was just we were very, when they named her, we were just kind of so awed by the compassion, it's like a womb, safe place to really, birth, treasure.
Yes. To birth, to treasure.
Just kind of when God has compassion, he already has the image in his mind of what he's going to birth through his compassion. You know, safe, nurturing, whatever it needs, without any outside, you know, dirt.
It's an amazing word here. Yes, it says it's the origin of the Hebrew word for womb, and it references the verses in Isaiah. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Fathers, too, can show this feeling for their offspring. And God wants parents to tenderly love their offspring and to show compassion toward all who are weak and defenseless. God sets the example by his constant compassion for the helpless and undeserving. And I don't know about you, but you know, even to this day, there are times when I just am overwhelmed with the sense of God's compassion for me. And I'm like, you know, why me, Lord? Just how much he loves us, and how full and complete is his compassion. And of course, then if we go forward to the New Testament, and we look in Matthew 9, verse 36. In Hosea?
Yeah.
Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. And that's the one where the Hebrew word also refers to the womb. And then in Matthew 9, we see this, of course, it's not just with Father God in the Old Testament, but now with Jesus, the Son in the New Testament. in verse 36 of Matthew 9. And it says here, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." So here Jesus looking at the multitudes, and how often in your classroom with our own children, perhaps with our spouse, situations come up, a neighbor, a fellow worker, where we have a choice to be exasperated, to be frustrated, or to yield to the working of God in our life and to be moved with compassion. And Jesus here, as he was moved with compassion, he said he saw them as weary. And it's interesting that word weary there means harassed. Mm-hmm. And how often do we feel harassed? You know, in those moments when perhaps God calls us to move with compassion. And here we may feel harassed, but the person that God is calling us to be moved with compassion toward is also feeling very harassed. Sometimes, I don't do it often, but once in a while I was substitute in the public schools, and sometimes the worst child in the class, that it's like there's no sense, it doesn't seem like, in that child of any inner controls. You know, they're not about to do anything that I'm asking them to do. And I'm about to push that call button to call the security, mm-hmm. because the whole class is being upset by this one. And, you know, sometimes in the midst of that, it's just very challenging for me. But sometimes I just feel like the Lord is pulling back the curtain just a little bit on that individual's life and showing me how destitute and how needy and just probably what that child is growing up in the midst of and the pain that that child is facing. And I feel a compassion that is not of Linda Schweitzer at all, that is rising up in me and is saying, you know, somehow express an affirmation to that child in the midst of all that they're doing. And, you know, it's God that does that within me. But it's interesting, one of the notes in my Bible on this Jesus being moved with compassion, we also read of it in Matthew 14:14, which is just over a couple chapters from where we were. It says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, mm-hmm. and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed the sick." And my one of my notes pointed out that at least five of the miracles of Jesus were associated with his being moved with compassion. And that, I was like, you know, I felt that there is a connection that God has between our flowing in his heart of compassion and are seeing the miraculous. We all want to see the miraculous. We anticipate we serve a miraculous God. We believe the miraculous is for today. It wasn't just for New Testament times. But what I sense God saying was, perhaps as we yield more to his compassion in our lives, instead of the frustration, instead of the harassment, we're going to open the doors more for the revelation of the miracles of God to be happening. And so, have you ever noticed that God is so faithful when he reveals something of his heart and his ways afresh to us? He always gives us opportunity afresh to walk it out. And, you know, the moving and flowing and yielding to the compassion of God is not something new for me, but I felt like the Lord was just showing me in a deeper level. I've been reading a book about some of the early church fathers and how they would go apart and seek the Lord in solitude. But the amazing thing was, it wasn't just so they could be shut out from all the world, as I'm reading about this, but it was so that they could hear the heart of God. And one of the things that they pointed out was that it just seemed like this impartation of compassion was coming into their lives as they had this time with the Lord. And then the other things that also it pointed out was that the high value of the Word of God and speaking the Word of God rather than our own words, our own ideas to other people, was another thing that was deeply implanted on them. And the other thing was the high value of listening. You know, as women, we all have a lot to say and we have wonderful good things to say. But we know that when others listen to us, how much that ministers to us. And that gift of listening and really hearing another person out is part of the compassion. So anyway, in the midst of all of this, God gave me a fresh opportunity to just practice compassion in a very practical way, which I probably got a D on that lesson. But, you know, Thurlow was coming home from Africa, and I was all excited to see him and, you know, hear of the work. And, you know, he was showing me the first night some of the pictures and just all of the wonderful things that God had done during the 3 weeks he was away. And so then, you know, he was exhausted, so, you know, we were getting ready for bed, and, you know, he was hardly in bed at all when he was, like, sick all night long. He was up and down all night long. And every time he went to the bathroom and flushed the toilet, the chain in the tank went down under the flapper, and so the, you know, the toilet would never shut off. It was just, the water was just running. Now, he is so sick, you know, he's not even hearing that, you know. He's that's a thousand miles from his mind, and I'm laying there, I'm like, I can't sleep with that water running. So, you know, every time I paddle into the bathroom, you know, and take the tank cover off and get that chain out from under the flapper and wait for the tank to fill up. And put the lid back on, climb back into bed, and a few minutes later he's back in the bathroom doing that all night, and I'm like, yes, and I'm like, and I'm like, where's it? What's happened to my love for my husband? You know, where? And I'm like, and I hear the Lord say, compassion. And I'm like, what I sense the Lord was saying to me, you know, here your husband has just poured himself out for 3 weeks in the land of Africa, and you're worried about not getting any sleep for one night and getting that chain out from under the fire. And I'm like, oh, Lord. So that was kind of my fresh example for my life of just growing in this compassion. And I just pray that this is a bit meaningful to each one of us, that sometimes that person that seems the most difficult. And not that my husband at all is the most difficult. It was like that night at that moment with the chain under the flapper and all. It was like trying to remember compassion in that moment.
You know, there's a hook on there. You can shorten that chain.
I know. And I think by the end of the night, we had. So I was like, if Mary had been there, she would have had it.
That's exactly
the
first right. She would have had it. New toilet in there within 30 minutes.
That's right. You didn't want to turn on the light and wake yourself up.
Right. So basically that was what was on my heart, and I really did want to open it up because I feel I am confident that the Lord has been speaking to each one of you through this day, and if you were here last night also. And I would love to hear some of the nuggets that God has been speaking to your heart.
This thing of compassion, it's been definitely ruminating in my life and recently, and just continuing, you know, with Gwen and talking with her the very first evening, you know, and that grace, the grace of God, and it's just so precious. And just a few weeks ago, I had one of those ugly kind of cries, you know, where there's just, you just can't get it all together, you just got to get it all out. And it was right before church started. And,
of course there was.
And they sent us home. They said, you know, don't even, just, amen. You and John and I were in the both at the same place at the same time, just broken, just him for a different reason and me for a different reason. And it wasn't between us. It was just our own circumstance. And it felt so overwhelming. And that morning, and I keep sharing it just because it keeps ruminating and keeps ruminating, the compassion of God and in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. And we've been to Israel twice, and many of you have been there too. And you go there, and that evening captivates my mind. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see the olive trees and to think those could have very possibly been around right when Christ was praying. And I've read it and so many times, but it's come to life in a different way this time. And that, you know, he's in anguish and he's going before the Lord. If you would, you know, please take this cup before me. And I find that's precious. You know, how much do we want that in certain circumstances? You know, we just wish it would go away. But no, you know, there's that turning. We've all heard that aspect of it. But not my will, but your will be done. There was an aspect that came to life to me recently that he had his friends were with him. Mm-hmm. And he asked them three different times if they could just pray with him. Mm-hmm. Here's Christ, who's just a little bit needy, and it's fine. It was okay that he wanted to go. And then in the compassion, at the very end, they never woke up. You know, he keeps going back, can't you just sit up with me? And I don't see it. I feel like, for me, I wasn't reading like, can't you just sit up with me? You know, it's just kind of, can't you? It's like it shows his humanness. Mm-hmm. He just wanted them to pray with him. Mm-hmm. And he knows what's coming. And he knows it's for them. But what does he say? He says, the third time he comes back, and he says, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. He doesn't even rebuke him. Right in the midst of it, the third time. Don't you think we would have been like, oh, I have the worst friends in the world. You know? But he doesn't, and he's going to die for them. And the grace that he doesn't even, he's just like, oh, well, are you still asleep? Well, let's go. Come on. It's over. You know, it's gone. And I don't know if that communicates to you, but wow, it just, again and again, this is like, you know, going on a few weeks here, but it just keeps coming back again and again and again. Wow, it's compassion. Even at the very hour of beautiful. Yeah.
That speaks to me, too. I've never really thought about it in that way. I was thinking about the first psalm that you read and about God being merciful for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. And you said how he's full of compassion, and I immediately thought, and he's not stingy with it either. And I more looked at it for how we are to be to other people. Sometimes we know we're supposed to show compassion, but we don't want to. They really don't deserve it. I mean, that's just all there is about it. I mean, they just don't. They don't deserve it. And yet God is saying, I was compassionate with you when you didn't deserve it. Remember, don't bring it up. It's okay. I'll be compassionate. And it just is such an important thing that we don't dole out compassion according to what we think somebody deserves. Yeah. But that we show the compassion just like God shows.
Yes.
Compassion is just full. He's full of compassion. And it doesn't matter what we think about their circumstance. They're obviously, whether they're a Christian or if they're unsaved, they don't even know.
Right.
How could they understand? How could they know? They need love. Just like God is trying to pour out his love to them through us. You know, it's like we can't be stingy with that compassion.
That's right.
And thinking about what what you said, Carol, with the in the garden. I think that we have to be at a point in understanding as we mature that we are all for God and all for His will, whether anyone is with us or not. And we aren't angry about it if they're not. We love it if they are, but I'm going to call God. And I think that's why there was nothing in there that made us think Jesus was annoying. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get them to join him. I'm sure he would have very much liked mm-hmm. that support. But he was okay with it because he already determined not your will, my will, but yours.
Yeah.
And we have to get to that point. That like, I can only go forward if I've got somebody holding my hand. Well, you do. You've got the God of the universe
holding
your
right.
hand. And we need to be good with that.
I also think it's important just to let the Lord minister his own compassion. I'm sorry. I think it's important that God ministers his compassion toward, that we allow the Lord to minister his compassion toward us as well. Sometimes I find it's harder to tell others about God's compassion, but when it comes to myself, sometimes I can be harder on myself than God would probably ever be on me. And recently, my son went through something and it required a lot of compassion. And I was so thankful to the Lord because instead of being angry or getting upset or wallowing in anything, I was able to just love on him and give him all of this compassion and pray with him and, you know, and walk him through it, you know, and just say, you know, it's going to be a journey, but we're going to walk through this. And we were just kind of, and there was just all this compassion just welled up, you know, it's a mom's compassion. And was able to just love, and compassion, and mercy, and forgiveness. And it was all just oozing out of me toward him. No judgment, no anything. And then as soon as he went to bed, I was having a hard time forgiving myself for allowing this kind of stuff to happen in his life. I was having a hard time. I was hard on myself and the mistakes that I made and all the different things. And all of a sudden, all that grace and compassion that was just there for my son went right out the window. And I was completely sitting there on myself, judging myself, being hard on myself, you know, just being sad and being despondent. And it was like it was all there for him. And then when it came to me, I was like, oh, you know, just in the depths of despair. And God said, and he really spoke to me right in that moment. And he said, just my compassion hasn't left the room. What's changed? You know, my compassion's still there. The same compassion I was giving to your son, I'm giving to you. It's just allowing that compassion to come to you. And I had to just completely shift and say, oh, I'm a child too, just like my son's a child. And I make mistakes too, just like my son just did. And I can receive your compassion too. It's the same compassion you have toward him that I just knew so real. It was so real to me for him. And for me, it seemed so unreal. And I was like, it's just as real for me as it was for him, like 2 minutes ago when I tucked him into bed. You know, and so that, just that reality of staying in that place where we're a child of God when it comes to his compassion too, and allowing him to minister it to us in our neediest or our worst moments is a good thing, you know, and it keeps us dependent on him and it helps us know how real his compassion is.
One of the, I think the most neat stories is when Jesus came back after he died and he looked for Peter. Mm-hmm. And you think about Peter who denied him 3 times, you know, but Jesus purposely sought him out.
Yeah.
I think speaks volumes mm-hmm. of the compassion
yeah.
of the Lord. And also, Jesus, I forget what verse he talked about, you know, he didn't need the praise of man because he knows how fickle man is. And I think that's a key to be able to have compassion, is that a lot of times we want something from someone, and when we don't get it, then it's hard to deal with that person. But if everything that we get is from the Father, like Jesus did, when when man failed him, he could handle it. Yes. And he could show his compassion.
Yes.
Because he realizes, you know, that he didn't need anything from man. He got everything from the Father. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a key to helping us. Mm-hmm. You know, because we tend to need from man, mm-hmm. which when you want acceptance from man, which is one of my biggest battles, mm-hmm. it really hinders my compassion, my forgiveness, my love, mm-hmm. because if I'm not seeing it from you, mm-hmm. it's hard for me to give. But if right. I see it from my Father, then I can give it.
Right.
I think one of the things, there's probably the two things, I guess one was from Carlo and one was from Dan, but Dan was saying it can be excruciating to the process of becoming sons of God, and how, you know, whenever you're going through, like, you know, trials that just keep going and keep going and you keep praying for it to end, you know, or you know that, you know, I was talking with Patty and just, like, if you like working with her granddaughter, you know, it's a long process when you're working with somebody, you know, for, you know, their lifetime. You know, I mean, think about, you know, you know, you have a child and they're going to be your child forever. You know, it's like, you know, and all the things that they go through, you're going through it with them. You know, and you can kind of relate to, you know, anybody that has a child can relate, you know, to that. But it was just probably dawning on me more and more, and I guess related to the fact that the other part that I was just saying, that you know, the Ichabod culture of saying that the word of the Lord was rare for, what, 300 years. Mm. And I think if you're in the midst of where you really, you know, sense the, you know, God's word to you, you cannot realize how devastating it is to the world that's not receiving it, I guess. You know, it can be hard to understand it. Mm-hmm. But that, I think the connection I was really making is the excruciating part of going through to become sons of God is because he has so much compassion for the world that's not receiving from him at all. You know, are in a dark place. I know some of the people at our church are really doing street ministry right in our area, and we're just talking about how this is a really dark area. You know, I don't think of it as a dark area. You know, I mean, not like they were talking about it.
Yeah,
and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know, it's like you don't think of it that way. You know, and they were just talking about how dark it was because of, like, the different ones that they were talking about. And they've been going out for several weeks, and I guess they said they've seen probably about 80 people, you know, recently. And so it's just like, we don't realize how dark it is for some people, or for so many people. And, you know, and just even the people that we come across, you know, and you start talking with them, you know, talk to somebody that I'm checking out, and I always buy a lot of groceries, so I'm standing there talking to them for a while. You know, and they'll start telling you about things that, you know, are going on. And just, anyway, it was just that if he's allowed us to go through some of the excruciating things, it's a purpose because of his love for even, you know, not only for us, you know, to come to the point of being, you know, real sons of God, but that he wants to use all of that to help those that are going to start coming in. You know, and I just can't imagine that it isn't going to happen. But there's just going to be an influx of those that then he's like, I'm preparing you for, to be ready for that. You know, and he's preparing the church, and he's preparing, you know, that, I mean, even the talk of, like, how we each have our own little ministries, whether it seems to be with one person or with five people or mm-hmm. or with, you know, thousands of people, but that the better we learn to work together and be the church together, and especially as leaders, the more prepared we're going to be ready for, as you know, as he grows and brings, you know, more and more in.
And I sense in my spirit with what you're saying that even though there's a probably a big segment of the world in America that maybe does not look well on the church at this moment because they feel Christians are so negative and so against everything and whatever, I feel rising up in my spirit that this is changing and God is changing it, and that his heart is that the world would see compassion through the church, and that is what is going to be coming forth, even as the world gets darker and darker. Mm-hmm. And he's going to use each and every one of us as those who carry his compassion to help a world that is so dark, so needy for compassion, to feel it as his compassion flows through us, not our compassion, but his compassion.
I don't think we're going to have to work hard at it. I don't think we're going to have to work. You know, it's just going to be something that people are just going to. It's just going to be like, I know.
Right.
You know, they're just going to see it because of where we've come through. You know, what God has brought us through, and his compassion is just going to keep showing in such a way that nobody can deny it anymore. You know.
The Bible says that in the end times that the love of many will wax cold because of the lawlessness that abounds. Mm-hmm. And we see, and look at when anything happens, you see compassion of people, America rise, you know. But I think God's compassion is different.
Yes.
I think the compassion that you're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, is really from the throne room of God.
Yes.
It's not our human compassion.
Right.
Or is it our human compassion?
No, it's not our human compassion. Mm-hmm. It's just surrendering to another aspect of our being a son and daughter of God. And as he was moved with compassion, as he was full of the Father's compassion, and as we become another step more and more like him, that is going to be flowing out of us. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not going to be a hard thing, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But it's the challenge is going to be because it goes against our flesh. Mm-hmm. It goes against our self-will to yield to that.
It's not always our words of compassion. It's our spirit of compassion.
Yes, yes.
Because we can really want to help in a situation. And there is a level of that. Obviously, our words are used. But if in our spirit we give out compassion just by the way we live, people are drawn to that. There's just made me think of a Jewish lady, and she's older, she's not she dresses very simply. I call what she wears usually an anorak, but she probably had 40 years. And I met her, of course, naturally it was in a jewelry store. Not a store, but a jewelry thing, and a craft festival. And I don't know how she knew I was a Christian, but when I go, I think I first met her at Frederick Christmas Fairs, and now I've seen her. I regularly go to some others just to see her and her son, David. And to look at the jury. I mean, I have to be.
Yeah, you're in church. You're in church. Tell the truth. Yeah.
But anyway, I genuinely love to go. But anyway, somehow or another, I guess she thought it wasn't. She took my arm one day and said, "Can you walk with me?" She sort of touched her arm. She said, "You know," she says, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. I'm a Christian.
Wow.
Oh, and she wanted, but wow. I didn't know about David. I'm still not sure about David, but she, for a long time when I'd see her, she'd take me away and want to walk. And I told her some verses, and she just wanted to eat in everything you could say. And year after year, and several times a year, I'd see her. I even gave her book of scriptures, one that you actually gave me, and I passed on to her. And every time I'd see her, there was people around her. She just loved to listen to people. The last time I saw her, she was so busy listening to people, I had to help her son David because she, and he says, Margaret, she's always over there. and when I come now, of course she knows me, she'll say, well, I saw a woman the other day in New York, and her marriage is breaking up, and she said, I just told her about Jesus.
Oh.
And she doesn't know what to say. I just told her about Jesus. And
wow.
She told me about somebody in another state she'd seen. I just tell her about Jesus.
Amen.
And she always blesses me, because she wants to know. She does go to a Bible study, but I think she still goes to synagogue and everything. And I have a feeling maybe David's all right with it. She talks to me now in the thing. I don't know if he's a Christian. Very nice man. But anyway, I set her down. This is the point I'm getting to. This last time when I got her, David and I got her for people, and set her down, and I says, Mary, do you realize how many people are going to be in heaven because you just told them about Jesus?
Yes.
She so blesses me.
Yes.
She just has a compassionate heart.
Wow.
She listens to everybody, and she knows she doesn't know how to fix, because we want to fix it. She knows she doesn't know how to fix things. Mm-hmm. And she said, Margaret, I just told them about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all she says. But people flock to her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Her spirit,
yes.
Not in words.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when I said that to her, and you know, I said, you don't know how many people you're meeting in heaven that are there because of you. She looked almost horrified. She said, oh, but I just don't know. She thought she had to come along. And I said, that's why they're going to be there.
That's right.
Because of
that's
her
right.
compassionate heart,
yes.
And sowing the seed in this,
yes.
Jewish lady.
Yes.
Nothing comely about it. Well, there is. It's, I love her. But I mean, outwardly.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason why that doesn't. Just her spirit gets people to talk to her.
Wow.
So I just think it's lovely. I guess that's why I'm getting this, that sometimes we do have to have discernment of what to say, but it's her spirit.
Amen.
And it's this elderly Jewish lady.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would go and see her despite the Jewish.
Well, I think probably our time is up, but I really appreciate each one of you sharing. I'm sure that others... You also have the compassionate thoughts and words and heart of Christ. And Alana, would you just close us in prayer? And I don't know if we're blessing the food now or not.
Yes.
We might be.
Father, I'm just so moved by what Margie just told us, mm-hmm. Lord, and that we would be more like this Mary, who, mm-hmm. like you, Jesus, the Bible says that you were not comely. In other words, you were not anything to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The people were drawn to your spirit. And Lord, we want to be more like you, more like this simple woman, Lord, that we would just learn the simple lesson that Margie just shared, that we would exemplify your spirit and not try to fix everybody, Lord, and that we would just be your hands and your feet, and if need be, that we'd be your mouth, but they would just see your heart in us, Lord. You know that's what we want. It's what we desire, Father. We want to be pleasing to you, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for the opportunity to be together this week and to fellowship with one another and deepen our relationships with each other and to be stirred up in our hearts by the words that have been brought to us and will continue to be brought to us, Lord. We want to be sons and daughters pleasing to you and someone that you can use to bring forth more sons and daughters to
yes.
you, Lord, not to ourselves, but to
yes.
you. Just pray that you bless the food we're going to partake of and the rest of our evening, Lord, and the rest of this week, and we just are so grateful that we can be here, Lord. We just thank you, praise you for your tender mercies to us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.